Second Epistle of Peter and read chapter number 1. Second Epistle of Peter, chapter number 1. Apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to brotherly kindness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we had made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. State continuously. The Lord is so good to us, and we feel his goodness, and we feel those blessings abundantly bestowed upon us. Though unworthy we are, he gives them to us. And so we are continuously in this state of being blessed, of knowing the Lord, of having that relationship with him, that closeness with him, that knowledge of him, and we are blessed in this state. And we read in the chapter that we have before us this evening the promises of God and how strong those promises are and how sure those promises are. And those promises that we do receive from the Lord add to that and validate this great blessing of this state that we have as we are in Christ, as we believe in him. And so typically, as for me in my mind, as we come to church, I often think that we are going to hear the promises of God and how great the Word of God is and how great our God is, who we serve, and how powerful he is and how he can do all things. And then there are other times when we receive exhortation that we ought to build upon our faith and grow in our relationship with the Lord and come to trust him more and more and be obedient unto him, as we sang in that first hymn this evening, that we would show our thankfulness by obedience to his word. And we just uttered a prayer together to the Lord, and when we do that, and it was truly a full prayer and covered a lot of things in there. And when we come before the Lord in faith, knowing that these things that we are petitioning of the Lord for, that he will grant them to us. And so, again, that adds to the blessing of this state that we find ourselves in as being children of God and those that are seeking the Lord. And so Simon Peter here is writing his second epistle, and he's writing it to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Just as Peter had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the other apostles had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believed that he was the Son of God and that there was no other and that he was the Messiah come down upon this earth to be the Savior of the world. And there were many others, as we can read through the books of the Acts of the Apostles, of those who had faith in the Lord, that believed in Jesus, that believed who he was, that believed the witness and the testimony that the apostles had. So we read of many in the Acts of the Apostles, and then through the epistles too, of various others who labored and who were faithful and believed. And so it is to them that Peter's addressing this epistle, and it is to us as well, that we likewise have this faith, this undying faith, this true faith, this real faith, that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that there is none beside. It is only through him that he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is none other. And we place our full faith and our confidence in him, that throughout all life, whatever it might bring our way, that we're trusting in the Lord. We're trusting in our Savior. We believe his promises. We are his children. We have that relationship with him. And so he's writing to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. His righteousness was given unto us. And we see that in this chapter, that he is giving unto us of his precious promises, of his goodness to us, of his blessings to us. And that fills us with that joy, and that gives us that blessed state that we find ourselves in. It's through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we have this faith in him. And it's a like precious faith. We have, all of us here, have the same God, and we all here have the same enemy. And we're trusting in our God. And as we prayed together, that we're not extending our hand to the devil, we're extending our hand to the Lord, that he would guide us, that he would be, that he would provide for us in every aspect of our lives and for everything that we have need of, that he would provide it for us. And so again, we're finding ourselves in that blessed state of being a believer in the Lord, and his righteousness is filling us. Then he continues and says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." These two beautiful things that we are in so desperate need of in this life. And it's multiplied. It's given unto us in a great measure. Again, with God, nothing is done in a small way. God gives, and he gives lavishly. He gives abundantly, not in little measures, but in an abundant way. He gives grace, and he gives peace, multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God. A grace, this unmerited favor that we receive from the Lord. It's when we don't deserve this goodness from the Lord, yet he gives it unto us anyway. And he gives unto us it day by day, and moment by moment, that we might have grace to overcome, that we might have grace to be true, that we might have grace to fall upon our knees and cry out to the Lord, that we might have grace to speak to someone of the love and the goodness that God has shown unto us, and that we might have this peace in our lives, the peace that only Jesus Christ can give. As Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And as there's fear-mongering going on in the world today, we can have peace. Peace, and it be multiplied in our lives and in our hearts. And again, that contributes and that adds to this blessed state that we as believers find ourselves in. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto virtue, glory and virtue. His divine power, that is given unto us. And it gives unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything that we need to experience the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised that he would give unto us as we place our full faith in him, this divine power would be given unto us, and we would have this godliness and this life as we experience it. That his godliness, not our godliness, not another man's definition of godliness, but the godliness of the Lord, the righteousness which is of God in our Savior Jesus Christ, that would be given unto us by his divine power. His divine power gives unto us our divine nature, as we read in the next verse of speaking of that divine nature. It is that is given unto us. We are the recipients of that which the Lord gives. We are recipients of the grace and the peace that is multiplied to us. We are recipients of the life and the godliness that he is giving to those who place their full trust in him. And by placing our full trust in him, that means in all aspects of our lives, we are placing all aspects of our lives onto his care, knowing that he cares for us. If we go to the previous chapter, chapter 5 of the first epistle, Peter, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This is the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're placing all our life in his care because he cares for us. And as we do that, he blesses us with this grace and peace, life and godliness, and glory and virtue. And we find ourselves in this blessed state, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Again, more gifts that the Lord is giving to us. He gives us by his divine nature all things that pertain to life and godliness. And here in this verse, he's giving unto us great and exceeding precious promises. His promises are sure. His promises will never fail. That we can be sure of. And as we ponder upon those promises of God that are sure and never fail, that gives us that peace, that blessed peace that we can have in him. One promise that he has, if we look into the next book, is First Epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 25 says, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. He has promised that to us. These are part of the great, exceeding, precious promises that he's given unto us. And one that I can never forget, I always go back to, for me, it's at the end of Matthew 28, at the end of the gospel, where Jesus Christ says, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. That's a promise. That's a promise. And that's something sure. That's something that we can place our complete faith and trust in, that Jesus Christ will be with us till the end of the world. He will be there for us. These are the exceeding great and precious promises that we hold dear in our lives. And we know them to be true. We know them to be true more than anything. That the sun will come up tomorrow. It may not. But one thing is sure, that Jesus Christ will be with us. And there are other things that we come to fully expect that happen in our lives, but they may not happen, but the promises of God are sure, that he will be with us, and that he has given unto us eternal life. That's his promise to those who are faithful and true to him. And so this message is a blend of both the promises of God that we can find so much solace and comfort in, and also a message of exhortation as well. For he says here in this verse, in this next verse, verse number 5, he says, besides this, giving all diligence, do these things. Here's the exhortation, but you need to do these things with all diligence. So the definition of diligence is painstaking effort. You continuously put effort in it. Never give up. Continuously try. And so as we read these things, these 8 things that are written here in these verses, that we continuously put effort in them. That as soon as we fail, we go to our knees again and we plead for the Lord for help, just as we did moments ago. And he will hear us when we have that prayer of faith, that we trust in him, that he would provide for us. But it's a continuous effort. And when we apply ourselves to the Lord and we desire to serve him and to seek him and to pray to him and be in his word and be obedient to him, we know what's going to happen. We've experienced it in our lives over and over, and that is that Satan's going to be right there. And he's going to be taunting us. He's going to be tempting us. And when we fail, he's going to be clearly point that out to us. That's Satan. That's what he does. He's an accuser of the brethren. But we give ourselves diligently to these things that the Lord would have us to apply ourselves to. And so he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. This is what the Apostle Peter here is exhorting us to. You have great promises. You are in a blessed state. You have peace and grace multiplied to you. You have all things that pertain to life and godliness given unto you. All glory and virtue is part of your life. And so now, give diligence, put painstaking effort into adding to your faith virtue. We know that we need to be diligent in our faith, that we believe in the Lord, that we believe in him in all things. We go back to Hebrews chapter 11, and we see that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. When we diligently seek the Lord, when we diligently put effort in our spiritual lives, that we know there's going to be the battle moment by moment. There's going to be fears. There's going to be doubts that Satan's going to bring our ways. And Satan's going to tempt us to think carnally minded or to think about the temporary things of this life and not have that eternal perspective. But we go to him. We go to him. To go to the Lord upon our knees and ask that our faith would be steadfast in the Lord and that we would add to that faith virtue, that simple goodness of the Lord being in operation of his power, and that we would grow in this knowledge of him. And in this chapter, it speaks much about knowledge. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Through this knowledge, that we would come to know the Lord more and more. There are many men who have said many things, and many of them are good. But ultimately, we look to the Word, and we have knowledge of His Word. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? We have knowledge of His Word. But the Apostle Peter here is not speaking just simply of having a knowledge. Okay, I know that the Bible says this and this and this. It's having that knowledge, but then building on that knowledge, that knowledge would turn into a relationship with the Lord, a true and a good and a right relationship with the Lord. That as he knows that we go through these struggles throughout life, that he is able to help to succor those who are tempted, even as he was tempted. And so we have this relationship with the Lord, and he helps us, and he intercedes for us, and we pray to him, and we turn to his word, and we ask for strength, and we share with one another, and we build each other up. This is the knowledge that he's speaking of. Speaking with a couple brothers last Sunday, and one of the brothers referred to this Familiar verses here in Jeremiah where it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." These aren't the things to glory in, because these are all temporal things. They come and they go. "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." He knows me. This is what we should glory in, is that we would know the Lord. And not only, again, simply being able to see what the Bible says about this and this and this, but it's building in that relationship with the Lord. "Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am a Lord, I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and mercy in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." And so as we build this relationship with the Lord, as we are giving this diligence, this painstaking effort to build this relationship with the Lord and maintain this relationship with the Lord and stay true to him in all circumstances of life, that we would come to know that the Lord has loving kindnesses. That's who he is. He has loving kindnesses. He has judgment. That's who the Lord is. He has judgment. To those who will have none of the Lord, he will have judgment on them. And he is a Lord of righteousness. And these are the three things that the Lord delights himself in. And we, as his children, delight ourselves likewise in him. And so we add to this knowledge temperance. Temperance being self-control, being one who would not allow our carnal nature to have preeminence in our lives, but that we would keep our body under that we might please the Lord in all things, as the Bible says. Temperance. And then he speaks of patience. We live in a world that's pretty fast-paced. Many things happen very fast. But he's asking, we are being exhorted that we would grow in this patience, that we would wait upon the Lord, that we would trust in him, that we would not run ahead in our own decision-making, but we would have patience and wait on him. And he will provide for us in a beautiful way and in a way that will be much, much greater than that which we had anticipated. But it is ours to have patience in him and to have godliness, godliness being a part of our lives as he's giving that to us as we read in these verses, in the earlier verses, that he gives unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That we would be having a lifestyle that reflects that his spirit is operating in us, that we have faith in him, that we have this blessed state through which we are living, and that godliness comes forth. And then to add to that godliness, brotherly kindness, that we would encourage one another, that we would build one another up, that we would help one another, that we would speak well one of another. That's what brotherly kindness is, to esteem each other higher than ourselves and to speak well of one of another. and then to build to that is charity. And that would be of what the Lord is speaking of when he says that we ought to love our enemies. That is having charity toward all. So if we only have brotherly kindness, but to those outside of our circle, we are not so kind with, that would be doing what we read Sunday morning about in Matthew 5 there, about if we are just kind to those of our own, the publicans do the same, what do ye more than others? And so he's calling us to something even greater than that, even greater than having the brotherly kindness, but to have charity in our lives as well. God's desire is that all would be saved, and ours needs to be aligned with that, that we would have charity in our lives toward all. And so he speaks of these eight things, and that we would grow in these virtues, and that we would continuously be exhorted to do these things. And then he says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." If these things are a part of our lives, we will know the Lord. we will know the Lord. We will have a relationship with him. And our relationship with him will be close. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe, it says that knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. It's not simply to have knowledge of the word, but that knowledge needs to lead to having a relationship with the Lord. And that knowledge and that relationship builds through having this charity. And so we will know the Lord. We will know the Lord, and we will be blessed, and we will continue in this state of blessing in our lives because of Jesus Christ and because what he has done for us. Then the next verse says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." If we neglect to do these things, if we don't give diligence, if we try to exercise ourselves in some godliness or have a little bit of patience, if we fail and then we give up and we say, okay, I can't do this, well, we will forget that we were purged from our old sins. We will be blind and we will not be able to see afar off. As believers in the Lord, we have an eternal perspective. We look past the grave. We look to eternity, and that's what motivates us. That's what drives us, and that's what makes us to exercise the decisions that we would make in our lives. But if we lack these things, these eight virtues that we're speaking of, we cannot see afar off. We're thinking about this time, and we lack patience. Because we're thinking about this time that we're living in. And it's about the here and now. And then we forget that we were purged from our old sins. And so he says, "Wherefore the rather." In other words, we're persuaded of better things of you. That you are able to be exhorted and to accept this exhortation and to exercise yourself in this spiritual blessing. And so he says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence," there's that word again, diligence, of giving that painstaking effort to make your calling and election sure, "for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." There's another promise of the Lord, a beautiful promise of the Lord that we can be very, very sure of, that the Lord will fulfill it. If ye do these things, if faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity are alive in us, and they are being exercised in you, you have a promise from the Lord that you will never fall. It's impossible. You will never fall if these things are being exercised in your life, and they're alive. A beautiful, beautiful promise. And that's part of these exceeding great and precious promises that are given unto us, that we will never fall if we do these things. "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Another beautiful promise. To think that we've battled through life. We've battled against Satan. We've encouraged our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We've given of ourselves. We were spent and spent for the Lord. And by his grace, he filled us with his peace and his grace. He filled us with all things and has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness and unto glory and virtue, that now we are given an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. What a glorious thought of that glorious time that shall come. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "And the king shall say unto them in that day that are on their right, on his right hand side, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom which is prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." What a glorious thought. This is the blessed state that we as believers find ourselves in. Eternal life is awaiting. His promises are there. They are exceeding great and precious promises. They are true. They will happen. and so we rejoice in them. And so in the next few verses, he says that the time of his departure was coming, and he wasn't going to be around much longer, but he was writing these things, that he would stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, that we would remember these words. And he took his time to write these scriptures, prompted by the Holy Spirit, just as it says that these holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And he wanted these things to be written, that we would have remembrance of these things always. And so it is this evening, this midweek service, that we are here in God's house, and our pure minds are being stirred up. We're being reminded of these great and exceeding precious promises that are given unto us, of this blessed state that we find ourselves in, of this grace and this mercy and this peace that's being multiplied in our lives. We're being stirred up. We're being reminded of these things that God has given unto us. And then we're being exhorted that we would walk in a way that would be well-pleasing to the Lord, that we would have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity in our lives, that we would be pleasing the Lord in all ways. And then he recounts a time when he was privileged to be on the mount when the Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured, and he heard the voice of God the Father, where God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And he recounts that, and he shares it, and he says that God had given him glory, given the Lord Jesus Christ honor and glory. And so we do well that we would take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. This light has been given unto us. This light of Jesus Christ. And it illuminates us. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and in him is no darkness at all. And when we were once in darkness, he came and he shined his light in our hearts. And when that light came into our hearts, we began to be participants in this blessed state of having this like precious faith with the apostles, with those who have gone on before, who were faithful to the Lord and who had given of themselves to the Lord. And we rejoice in this knowledge that we have of him. And we build this relationship that we have of him with him. And we give him glory in all things that we do. Let's be encouraged, brothers and sisters and friends. We serve a God who loves us so and has given unto us great and exceeding precious promises. And he wants to show his love toward each and every one of you. Amen.